Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-hour home care.
So I guess at the start, the word Movember, yeah, Mo is in Australia slang for mustache. So everyone got that kind of joke in Australia as we began the journey. But when we moved to the United States, no one knew what a Mo was.
Yeah.
So in the early years of Movember, when we were running the campaign, like every conversation started with, well, you know, Mo is slang for mustache in Australia and so on.
Hello everyone, this is Gavin Ward, co-host of Pop Health Podcast. In today's episode, co-host Zach and I had the cool opportunity to sit down with leaders at Movember, Paul Vellante and Kelly Page, in their pretty neat offices in Culver City, California. In today's episode, you'll learn about the global impact Movember is having on men's health, using mustaches as a way to create conversations on things such as mental health, suicide prevention, and various cancers like prostate cancer and testicular cancer. Movember uses humor to get men to talk about health, which is pretty neat. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you do, feel free to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. And you can reach out to co-host Zach and I by emailing us at info@pophealthpodcast.com. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show. So can you share with us a little bit about the background of Movember, how it got started, where you are today?
Absolutely. So Movember got started in Australia, in Melbourne, among a group of friends in 2003, talking about fashion trends, actually. Wasn't very health related at the time. And it was October, and they were talking about different things they could do together. And growing a mustache came up. So they decided to grow a mustache for 30 days and really have a celebration, a party at the end where they all had these great mustaches, groomed and grown together. And what they found early on in 2003 is that it caused a lot of conversation with the people in their lives. And what is this mustache? What are you doing? And they were a group of mostly young men in their 20s. And so they realized that it was creating a conversation. It was creating a lot of buzz. And so it was the next year that they decided, especially after some other fundraising and health campaigns, that they should really do it in honor of men's health. And they were looking out across different areas and decided that prostate cancer would be where they donated this money to. And that established our first partnership in Australia with the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. And then with the internet and social fundraising and grassroots movement, really in Australia, it took off in the following few years. And we were able to really grow as an organization and become an official charity. In 2006-07 time, that then became a real global initiative. And now we're operating in 20 countries from those early days and Australian roots. So having offices in Melbourne, Australia, Los Angeles, London, and Toronto, as well as activity going on in those other countries mentioned.
Awesome. And I know, Paul, you're based in Australia. So, Paul, maybe we start with you with role. Tell us about your role with Movember and how you got involved initially.
Sure. So my role is to oversee the program investments that we make across the 21 countries, or it's actually more than 21 countries these days. And there's official countries, which is 20, and then there's a bunch of other countries that we operate in. So we're funded over 1,200 projects across prostate cancer, mental health and suicide prevention, and testicular cancer. So my role is to lead the team that oversees those investments to achieve our goals of ultimately stopping men dying too young.
Very good. And I know you're on the road quite a bit. I think you were saying about 100 days out of the year, you're traveling and overseeing those programs. That's great. How about you, Kelly? What's your role here at Movember?
My role is our global director of True North Survivorship and Clinical Quality, really focusing on prostate cancer and our digital health tools that reach men and care teams that support them with the projects we fund.
Okay, great. So are you traveling as well, or tell us about you based here in the LA area where we're recording?
Yes, I am based here now, and I do travel around. So we have a global team, and we have activity in many countries around the world. So it's definitely necessary to get those people together to build those relationships and communities to really drive change.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you went from prostate cancer to moving for Movember mental health, suicide prevention. Maybe talk us through that history.
Sure. So we've started our journey with prostate cancer funding biomedical research. I guess our approach has always been to invest in important issues that affect men's health, but take an approach that can ultimately have a population impact. So, of course, you know, there's no shortage of health issues that affect men, but our ambition is to make a significant population impact, so we've stayed focused on a small number of issues rather than try and tackle every issue associated with men's health. So we started with prostate cancer. As the success of the campaign grew in Australia and overseas, we then did our analysis of what are the other key issues affecting men, and clearly suicide was a major issue in all the countries. 3 out of 4 people that die by suicide are men. And we really hadn't made a lot of progress over the years in tackling suicide. So that issue was really the second priority issue. And testicular cancer was the third one. And whilst that doesn't obviously affect as many men as prostate cancer and mental health, what we found, because there had been great progress, that most of the other funders that had exited doing anything in testicular cancer, yet there were really important issues. You know, young men in particular still die from testicular cancer, so we've taken a specific issue as I guess a more rare disease affecting men to really tackle the remaining challenges that exist there.
You mentioned 20 countries, so can you tell us a little bit about how you've had to adjust your approach, or have you had to adjust your approach based on different countries or cultures?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting challenge. I guess at the start, the word Movember, yeah, Mo is in Australia slang for mustache. So everyone got that kind of joke in Australia as we began the journey. But when we moved to the United States, no one knew what a Mo was.
Yeah.
So in the early years of Movember, when we were running the campaign, like every conversation started with, well, you know, Mo is slang for mustache in Australia and so on from there. So I guess at its basic level, you know, the word Movember just wasn't understood in many cultures around the world. The other interesting thing in operating across a range of different cultures is that I guess the essence of Movember is really, you know, taking the fun out of yourself for a good cause, you know, growing something that you're not normally doing on your hairy lip. And in some cultures, you find that, I guess, taking the fun out of yourself is less ingrained within those cultures, certainly in Asian cultures. In Germany, they tend to be a little bit more conservative. So there's kind of a bit of work to be done to kind of get men in some countries used to the idea of making a bit of fun to raise funds for men's health.
Yeah. Do you, if you mind me asking, when you're in those countries that may have a different way of viewing things, is there a champion that takes on that cause that gets others to then move with you guys? Or how does the momentum start, I guess?
Great question. Yeah. And when we started in Australia, we had this kind of entrepreneurial spirit that we really wanted to expand Movember globally. But really the starting point has always been, do we have grassroots support in that country? Because in the end, Movember is a grassroots movement. You know, we've got over 5 million men and women around the world that have supported us. So the starting point was always, have we got a grassroots movement? And back in 2006, we saw a lot of Americans, a lot of Canadians getting involved because anyone in the world could participate.
And may I ask, sorry to interrupt, but were they getting involved on their own, or had you made efforts to communicate with Canadians and Americans?
No, it was very much a liberated model where, on the website, which is how we raise funds, we were noticing, even though we were marketing to Australians, a lot of Americans and Canadians were joining in, even though we didn't have any presence in those countries.
Yeah.
And
nice.
So when we saw how popular it was becoming, that's when we said, all right, well, we've got to take this idea to the US and Canada, and that's when we set up our offices out of our founder's garage for a few years.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, and even in my 20s, before I really connected with Movember, I'd seen people grow beards in Movember and say, oh, it's Movember, so we grow facial hair. What's the real
goal when it comes to facial hair? What is your hope that men grow? Is it specifically mustaches? Is that kind of the main goal?
Yeah, our goal is definitely to get men to grow and groom mustaches for the month, and starting on the first with a clean shave. And so that's the statement. So even thinking about what we were just saying culturally, for some cultures in the world, and I could even say for my own dad, he has a mustache every day of the year. And in some cultures, facial hair and a mustache is a very common thing. So growing one is, you know, not really going to be a statement. What the statement in reverse is on the first that people are shaving down to a clean shave. And so if you're someone who does have facial hair regularly or a mustache, that is really the conversation piece. But either way, starting on the first with a clean shave and then growing and grooming the mustache throughout the month is really what we promote here at Movember and is at the core. So there's definitely a lot of facial hair activities going on, but we like to really focus on the mustache.
Nice. So November 1st. So for those of you that don't know, Movember's, would this be called the United States headquarters here in Culver City?
Yes. Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, really cool office space, and they actually have a barber shop attached that's run and operated by Movember. So November 1st, is that place just hopping, or tell us about the barbershop really briefly?
It is. So Movember & Co. is the barbershop that's attached here to our office, and proceeds from the cuts and shaves come back to the foundation. And on the 1st, we'll have a shave down event really all afternoon, really all day. Discounts on shaves, and it'll be a big community event into the early evening to just kick off the month. And yes, for everyone to walk out with a very clean shave and no facial hair getting ready to grow.
There's already some good facial hair around the office here, so everybody's going to have to be go clean shaven to start the month off.
It's true. It's true.
So you mentioned the growth that you've had internationally. Can you tell us about some of the partners that Movember has and how kind of they have grown to be those partners and the impact that they're having?
So the men, we have partners with our programs and the projects that we fund. And so here in the United States, our two major programmatic partners are the Prostate Cancer Foundation and also the Prevention Institute on the side of mental health and suicide prevention, funding a project that we call Making Connections across 14 different cities and communities in the U.S. So every country, and of course some of these are global, but really tries to identify with partners that share our values, with partners that really we can work together with to create meaningful change. And I think what's been really great about the way Movember has approached this is truly that word partner.
Yeah.
That even in the commercial or fundraising context, when we form partnerships, you know, we don't kind of have that traditional sponsor donor type language, because we really feel that coming together and doing things closely and with both teams is really where the magic happens. And so that has been the way we've approached that here.
Yeah. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but you also have some corporate sponsors that we were discussing off air that are helping with things like fundraising or getting the word out a little bit. Are you able to talk about it?
Absolutely.
About it? Okay.
Yes. So there is a list, and those are all on Movember.com. So if you go to the site, you can see them, see what types of promotions are happening, which is great. But the big ones we should mention today are really our partnership with Schick as our official shave partner. They've been really great focusing on activations, back to the shaving down. On the first, they'll have a lot going on. We have a fantastic partnership globally with MasterCard, which any donation made with a MasterCard from November 1st to December 31st of this year is going to be matched funds. So MasterCard will match dollar for dollar every donation made with a MasterCard in the United States up to $250,000, which is really exciting. And, you know, we want to be encouraging people to make those donations with their MasterCard.
Right. So you mentioned, actually, you led right into my next question. So obviously, awareness is one big factor about Movember, but the fundraising is another big part. And that money, you've briefly mentioned some of the research projects and some of the initiatives that Movember then turns around and supports for men's health. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those research partners that you have and what some of the challenges that they're trying to tackle are?
Sure. So when we think about mental health first, so our approach has been to focus on prevention and early intervention, and our model has been to establish collaborative networks through peer-reviewed processes to really develop the best ideas that will lead to more men staying well, taking action early, and ultimately contributing to reducing suicide around the world. So through open calls across all the countries that we work in, we've established collaborative research networks in a United States context. As Kelly said, our coordinating partnership has been with the Prevention Institute. But really, through all those efforts, both in the United States and globally, we've funded over 135 projects with an investment over $100 million,
wow.
Really with a focus of at-risk populations. And then we're kind of almost towards the end of this phase now, where we obviously don't know all the answers, but we're really beginning the next chapter of looking to scale nationally and globally the most promising investments where there's evidence that they really do make an impact. So certainly over the next 5 years, our ambition is to take a lot of that work out of research mode and into practice.
Yeah.
And it's a similar story in prostate cancer, whether it's biomedical research or the program that Kelly leads called True North, where we brought together multidisciplinary networks to develop approaches, thinking about cancer moving more and more towards a chronic disease, but health systems struggling to cope with supporting men and women over a longer journey with cancer. So how do you innovate with chronic disease management type approaches that can scale nationally and globally? So there's been an enormous focus on digital health products that enable more effective self-management post-treatment, as well as telehealth-based models where one can apply chronic disease management principles, obviously take the cost out of managing a lot of the care needs within an acute hospital setting. So
yeah,
the True North program has really been a flagship initiative in that respect.
And are you seeing tangible results from the projects that you've been launching or the initiatives that you're running, whether it be True North or the early intervention for mental health? Are you starting to see some of the tangible results of that?
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the progress that we're making on a number of different fronts. So, for example, in Australia, we invested in a program called The Way Back, which was a suicide prevention service putting support workers connected to someone that had made a suicide attempt. We built the evidence around that model. And just this year, the Australian government announced the national rollout of that program. So it's great to see some of these catalytic investments really scaling across the system. In biomedical research, of course, it takes 8 to 10 years to really see the work translate into new tests and treatments. But really, most of the promising initiatives where we're seeing phase one, phase two clinical trials happen at the moment, many of those initiatives have our fingerprints on them with the early seed investment.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what when it comes to research, you really want to see most of those promising tests and treatments have your fingerprint on them.
Right.
And certainly over the next 2 to 3 years, I think a number of the new drugs and tests that come onto the market will be things that we're really proud to have supported.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and ask a few more questions about some of the participation of Movember.
Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-hour home care.
So as kind of a latecomer to Movember myself, I've been doing it for maybe the past 5 years or so. I think it had kind of really caught fire in the area just for people who were growing mustaches. Do you have a challenge of people growing the mustaches in Movember without actually signing up? Like, how do you combat that challenge of people doing it?
Yeah, it's a great question because, of course, we want everyone that's participating in Movember and talking about Movember and men's health in this month to be registered on Movember.com, not only to raise funds so that we can do what we do, but also to start conversations and to really get behind the message and the movement. And so, of course, there are things that happen in the month that might not be officially registered as a host event on the website or on a MoSpace, but I think we've tried to really create really easy ways for people to do that. I mean, the registration, right. whether it's the app or the website, it's really fast. Registering events is improving all the time. And also Facebook fundraisers. So it's doing things that people are already doing and making sure that Movember is there and there's a really easy channel to activate. But honestly, you know, it's also about really just getting behind and driving the conversations, the awareness, and getting the message out. And so I would say with that, you know, any participation whatsoever is welcome.
Yeah. And so you talk about any participation. How do you really try to involve women in the process?
Yeah, involving women is not always easy when you want them to grow a mustache or any facial hair. So how do we do that? It's hosting events and it's moving. So you can make within your MoSpace online a dedication to a fitness challenge, really that you define across those 30 days of Movember, really choosing something that, you know, women can talk about. But I think it's easier maybe than we often think to involve women in Movember because every woman has a man in their life or a boy in their life that they care about, that they want to be healthy, happy, and to live longer, really, or to be here. You know, they might be doing it for someone that they've lost. And so I think giving people options to how to get behind Movember during this month is really, really important, and that's a great way for women.
One other thing I wanted to ask, because we're also involved, we get involved in Movember, but we're also involved in breast cancer awareness. Has that been a challenge, or is it actually kind of a nice, I don't know the right word, like 1-2 punch of like really focus on breast cancer in 1 month and then focus on maybe a more male-focused health issue the month just following?
Yeah, look, we like to collaborate across the sector in a number of different ways. When we think about biomedical research, we now know that a lot of the genetic targets are common to men and women. So we've actually funded collaborative research projects with breast cancer foundations around the world. So that's really, a major shift in the way in which a lot of charities had to think that if we're really going to make progress, we just can't stick within our own silo. So we've already recognized that challenge. From a fundraising point of view, there is lots of collaboration across different countries. So, for example, in Australia with Qantas Airlines, which is the major airline in Australia, they've kind of got the 1-2 punch where across the month they're supporting both breast cancer and men's health issues as well. So, yeah, we like to partner across the sector, even though they're obviously different causes. And we often find, we talked earlier about chronic disease management models and innovation there, what we're finding is the approaches that we're taking there are equally applicable to ovarian cancer as an example. So we work closely with ovarian cancer charities around the world where we can share the knowledge around what worked, what didn't work, so that they don't have to start from scratch and not build on the knowledge that we've already established around the world.
Excellent. That's great. So as Zach and I were setting up today, we heard a gong ring and you had a fundraiser stop by and she's personally connected to the cause and has done a lot for Movember. And so that kind of inspired us to ask about maybe a success story. It could be an individual, it could be a sponsor. Share with us a success story about how Movember has changed someone or how someone has changed Movember even.
I think there's a lot of amazing examples that come to mind. I think one of them really is something we hear a lot over and over again all across the year, which is someone is impacted to one of our causes in a very personal way. And so their participation in Movember is really because they have lost a man in their life to suicide or to cancer, and they want to do something about it. They want to honor that person by raising funds, raising awareness, and creating a platform to start having those conversations. And I think a really great example that we have is one of our local LA Mobros, Andrew Perez. His dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer and is doing very well, I'm happy to say. But he really used that moment, that day, to start thinking about not only how he could support his dad, but how he could use that conversation to really participate in Movember and to talk to more men about risk, knowing your risk. And it becomes very multi-generational. And we have some pieces on them also if you look on Movember.com. But Andrew and David have been a really great story, not only of how the conversation and really the journey of prostate cancer impacts a family and an individual, but also what can you do? And if it isn't you experiencing that, but you're loving someone and supporting someone who's going through something. It's really thinking about using Movember and also some of the things we do in our programs areas to help and to support and to take action, and really empowering men and women to be able to do that, I think is something that's really, really great about the campaign.
Awesome, Kelly. Thank you very much. I know folks that are listening, it'll be near Thanksgiving season when this is released, and that might be an awesome opportunity for folks to engage with their loved ones in some of these conversations. So that's for November. There's that opportunity to talk. But what about throughout the rest of the year? So November, there's always that correlation. Can you tell us what Movember as an organization is up to the rest of the year?
Sure. So with 1,200 projects to manage around the world, you know, we've got a large programs team that is stewarding that effort to achieve the progress. In some cases, we're a funder, so we oversee research teams that deliver those programs. You know, we've got evaluation and performance measures around all of those efforts to make sure we understand the impact of everything we do. But as we scale what works, we're actually now playing a more active role in delivering of certain programs, particularly digital products, where once we've built the evidence, not only can we scale them within a country, but also across countries as well, which is kind of one of the unique and interesting things about Movember. You know, we build evidence, we prove it up, then we scale nationally and globally. So a lot of our work now, and the team that Kelly leads, is really scaling a lot of the prostate cancer survivorship innovations, not only across the United States, but globally. On the fundraising side, whilst the Movember campaign is obviously our flagship fundraising initiative, we work all year round attracting donors to support our causes. So whilst we're best known for the Movember campaign, we really do now work hard all year round to raise funds to support our causes.
And except for November 1st, do you have a mustache year round typically?
Well, I've got a marketing moustache on multiple times a year. When actually the month of November started this year, I had a dilemma of I call it the leap year challenge. So I was flying back from the United States to Australia on the 31st of October, but I arrived on the 2nd of November. So the challenge is, when do I shave my mustache off? So in the end, I decided to shave it off on the plane. So the team enjoyed that.
Selfies are a must.
Yeah. See, you're lucky. You're like Gavin, who will have a mustache the day after he grows. Mine takes about the whole month to come in. So it's a little bit more of an endeavor for me.
Well, we call them the lame-mos, and they are the most respected and honored. And they also actually generate the most conversation.
Right.
Because of course, you know, people enjoy seeing a mustache that struggles to grow.
Yes.
But those mustaches actually generate more conversations around men's health than any other mustache. So keep up the lame-mo good work.
Yes.
And going back to the 12 months of the year, what we do, I think what we've been able to do with prostate cancer tools and online resources in this country has been very exciting, and we're just going to continue doing it more and more. But as PV mentioned, the True North program is really intended to support people throughout the prostate cancer journey from the time point of diagnosis and through tracking symptoms and tackling exercise and diet changes. And so we have online resources really for anyone who wants to register. We have a network that's really been involved in the pilot and bringing that to life, but that is also something that's out there, and we encourage anyone in the prostate cancer community to check out and to access and to make those resources available to anyone with prostate cancer that they know.
Awesome. And again, that information is on Movember.com, correct?
It is. And the True North website isn't quite as simple, but it's www.us.truenorth.org. So
okay.
We're happy to connect that too.
One more time with the True North website for us.
The True North website is us.truenorth.org.
Great. Thanks, Kelly. Well, PV, as I've learned, are you called PV, Paul? Are you called PV a lot around here, or is that just through Kelly?
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows my name is Paul these days.
If you say Paul, they say who?
Oh,
PV, yes.
All right. Well, Paul Vellante and Kelly Page have been our guests today. I know Zach and I have really enjoyed working with Movember over the years. We fundraised for Movember. 24-Hour Home Care, who's our main gig, has been a big supporter of you guys as well. So we appreciate you taking the time to record with us today, and look forward to much success to both of you and safe travels, PV, when you go back to Australia.
Thanks for your time and support.
Thank you. Yes, we couldn't do it without you. Thanks.
You're welcome. And folks, if you've enjoyed today's show, there's other episodes of Pop Health Podcast that you can listen to on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or pophealthpodcast.com. Zach, how do folks get a hold of you, or what's the best way to reach out to you?
Probably via the website.
Okay. And that
or on LinkedIn.
Yep, and that email address for the website is info@pophealthpodcast.com. You can find Zach Morgan on LinkedIn by searching Zachary Morgan. And this is Gavin Ward with Pop Health Podcast, and you can reach me at that same email address or on LinkedIn by searching Gavin Ward and Pop Health Podcast. Thanks, everyone. Take care.